We are coming to rapidly to the close of our study in Galatians this week and next week, last 2 weeks. So let me invite you to give your attention to the reading of God's Word as it's found in Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 6. If someone is being taught the Word, they should share with the teacher all the good things they have. Don't be misled. God won't have people turning their noses up at him, or God will not be mocked. What you sow is what you'll reap. Yes, if you sow in the field of your flesh, you will harvest or reap decay from your flesh. But if you sow in the field of the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Don't lose your enthusiasm for behaving properly, or don't lose your enthusiasm for doing good. You'll bring in the harvest at the proper time if you don't become weary. So then, while we have the chance, let's do good to everyone, and particularly to the household of faith. Father, I ask as we explore this, your word this morning, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit, that you would come and in the same way that you caused Paul to write these things down, that you would fill those words in our minds and our hearts today in a new way, even if it's something that kind of is old hat to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 45 years ago, I met Nancy, and I fell head over heels in love with her in 2 hours. Yes. Yes, yes. It took her a while to figure that out on her part. But as we were approaching the time when things were getting serious, she made it clear to me that she did not want to get married to a missionary or a minister. Right? Right. And at that time, I said, no problem, I have no intention of being either. Within 5 years, that changed. But the reason, I don't know all the reasons why Nancy felt that way, but I know why I didn't want to do that. Ministers lead their lives in a fishbowl. Isn't that right, Holly? I mean, it's really hard. You're in an organization, and typically you have one boss. You know, in a church, you have hundreds of bosses. So there's all different kinds of reasons why. I mean, I want to be liked by everybody, and that's not in the cards for a pastor. You just have to get over that. People are not going to always like you. But there was another reason why I didn't want to be a minister, is because ministers have to talk about money, and I don't like talking about money. I don't like talking about money between Nancy and me, let alone all of you. But that's what Paul is talking about in this passage. And there's a part of me that's kind of gotten over some of that and realized that, you know, it's okay to talk about money because money is necessary for ministry to take place. And not just in the modern church today, but in church throughout the ages. You can't go through the letters of Paul, let alone the Gospels about Jesus, and not come across the topic of money. And most of the times, it's not just a practical issue, it is that, but it's also a spiritual issue. And so in this text that I just read, Paul is talking about money. He's talked about money in the church at Corinth. And in that, In his lesson to the church at Corinth, he said, look, we have to collect money because there's a need, but there are certain kind of constraints about that. One is, you need to give, and you need to give out of the generosity of your heart. You need to give generously. But you need to do that with a cheerful heart, a hilarious heart, if you will. And you ought not give out of compulsion. You ought not give out of manipulation. You ought to give because you've been given much. He talks about it's not equal gifts that people give, but equal sacrifice. And a lot of times it's popular within conservative Christianity in particular to talk about tithing. But the reality is, in the New Testament doesn't talk about tithing. The New Testament talks about sacrificial giving, which means giving out of our, not out of our abundance, but out of our poverty, if you will. So whether we have a little or we have a lot, we're supposed to give sacrificially for the sake of the work of the kingdom of God. And in this particular context, Paul is talking about that, and he uses the example of sowing and reaping, which is what he does in the letter to the Corinthians as well. Now, we are not an agricultural society, but everybody knows about sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow barley, you're going to get barley. You know, if you sow nettles, you're going to get nettles. And that's the principle. You know, that thing works all the time. And that's part of what it means by God is not mocked. You can't turn your nose up at God. You can't sow one thing and think you're going to get something else. In the context of what we've been talking about, I find it interesting that Paul is talking about this in the context of what does it mean to live life in the Spirit. If you're going to sow to the field of the Spirit, if you're going to live in the sphere of the Spirit and not the flesh, you need to sow to the Spirit. And in this situation, he says, sowing to the Spirit is giving solid, practical, financial support for the life and ministry of the church. Now, on the practical side, we have financial needs. You have to pay salaries for me and for the rest of the staff because we work in the dissemination of the Word of God. You also have to pay for this building. You have to pay for the lights and for the insurance and all of that. You pay for the program stuff that we do. That's all practical stuff. And yet Paul connects that practical stuff to living life in the Spirit. If you sow to the Spirit by giving generously without compulsion, you are sowing to the Spirit and you're going to reap, he says, the life of the Spirit, which is eternal life. As opposed to that, we can sow to the flesh. In the big picture, Paul's been talking about sowing to the flesh or living life in the flesh by trying to keep the law and demanding that other people keep the law. But here he's talking about in terms of finances. I think what he means is if you sow by spending your resources for the pleasures of life, all you will get is decay and corruption, which is what the things of this life bring. Everything in this world is, at this point in time, subject to corruption. That's going to change. We sang about Jesus coming again. Jesus coming again is going to set in place that which will redeem, restore, renew this entire world, and we will no longer be under the dominion of the corruption and decay of this world. But we will live life according to the new age to come. But in the meantime, the reality is that fine houses deteriorate and fall down. In the meantime, beautiful cars rust and wear out. In the meantime, clothes either decay themselves or they go out of style and we need to get new clothes. You sow to those things, and that's what you're going to get. That's what Paul says in this text. You're going to get decay and corruption. Contrary to that, if you sow to the life and mission of the church, you're sowing to something that is going to outlast death itself and extend into into eternity. So he's saying, sow the Spirit. And he says, that sowing of the Spirit is doing good. Doing good to all people, especially to the people of the household of faith, and especially to the teachers of the Word that bring you life. The Christian view that Paul espouses and that Jesus talks about is that all of our dollars are a responsibility given by God to us, part of our stewardship. And what Paul says and what Jesus says and what the whole of Scripture says, if you use your resources wisely, you don't just accrue something for yourself in terms of nice houses and nice cars and nice clothes, but you accrue to yourself something that is eternal, that lasts on into eternity, which is the proclamation of the kingdom of God, not just in word, but also in deed. Paul is saying that circumcision is this flesh thing, but he's talking about that in terms of the law. It's not just circumcision. It's saying if you think that life is found in following the law, you are sorely mistaken. In reality, God is calling us to live life according to the Spirit. And so if we live life according to the Spirit, and if we sow according to the Spirit, if we sow financially for the good of the life and mission of the church, if we sow in terms of good deeds for good doing good for people, whether they are in the household of faith or not, outside the house of faith, but also especially to those within the household of faith. What he's saying is you are sowing to the Spirit and you will reap the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. God is not mocked. You can't turn your noses up at him. The law of sowing and reaping is a law that works in the same way that the law of gravity works. So barley, you get barley. Sow nettles, you get nettles. Sow the life of the Spirit and you get the life of the Spirit. So he says, don't grow weary in doing good. I was thinking about this and I heard somebody say last week, the greatest enemy of enthusiasm is time. I fell head over heels in love with Nancy 45 years ago. Time wears on you after a while when you're married. Be careful. Watch where you're going, Bill. Okay, forget that. Since I was 12 years old, I've struggled with my weight. I've started and given up on more diets than you can ever imagine. And every one of them I've started with great enthusiasm. Is that true, Nancy? Yeah. Time wears on that enthusiasm. It doesn't matter what we do in life. We start with enthusiasm, and then it wears on you. And we start to grow weary. What Paul is saying, don't give up. Don't get weary. When he writes to the Corinthians and when he writes to the Philippians, he talks about you started well in terms of your giving to the needs of the life and the mission of the church, but you've grown weary. Don't grow weary. Take up the task again. And so that's part of what he's saying to covenant right now. Don't grow weary of sowing to the Spirit by giving generously to the life and ministry of this church. But he's also saying, don't grow weary of doing good. In terms of what he's just been talking about, don't grow weary of being patient with people. Do you ever grow weary of being patient with people? I mean, I do. I just kind of go, will they ever get it? I want to say to everyone that what Jesus says to me in Mark 7, are you so dull? Don't grow weary of being patient. Don't grow weary of being kind. Don't grow weary of doing good. Don't grow weary of coming alongside people who have been caught, trapped, overtaken by sin, and come alongside with them in order to bear their burden with them so that you might restore them. That's what we all need, don't we? I mean, we do. We all need it. We all need restoration. We all need the patience of someone who's going to say, I'm not going to give up on you. Christianity is all about relationships. Don't give up on your relationships even when your people around you give up on you. That's why I didn't want to become a pastor. Because I knew pastors. And I knew the bruises that they got when people gave up on them. And I didn't want to experience that. Well, I can say that generally speaking, I have not experienced that with this church. Oh, there have been some occasions. But part of what's happened with this congregation is you have not given up on me, and so therefore you have not grown weary, and that has enabled me to not grow weary of you. Nancy has not grown weary of me, although there are times.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So what does Paul say? He says, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption, decay, things are going to fall apart, it's not going to work. But if you don't grow weary of doing good, if you don't grow weary of sowing to the Spirit, here's what's going to happen. You are going to reap eternal life. Nancy and I got married at a time in the life of the congregation that we were a part of, that they were going through some very difficult times. They'd gone through three very difficult pastoral relationships, and they'd lost about half the size of the church in the course of the time that I was involved in that church. And honestly, a lot of people that we knew, they bailed out and they left the church. They said, well, I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going to go someplace where things are good. And Nancy and I made a decision that we were going to stay in that church and love that church. Not the idea of that church, not what we wanted that church to be, but we were going to love that church. And I eventually became the pastor of that church. And that church went through a renaissance. Now, Nancy and I gained something in that. Not only for ourselves in terms of our character, but we gained the blessing of seeing God actually at work. Where God took that which was dying and made it come to life by sowing to the Spirit. So the word from God to you today is not only here at this church, but in your relationships, in your families, in your jobs, in your neighborhoods, and here in this nation. Don't grow weary of doing good. Continue to sow to the Spirit. Father, I ask that you would cause that message to come home to us in ever-deepening ways. That we would know the truth and reality of the life of your Spirit in our midst. And that you would make that known as we come to your table together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite the elders and deacons who are here to serve, if you'd come and please stand with me. Because Jesus speaks to us and he comes to us in the common, ordinary things of life. And in the midst of them, he seeks to give us a glimpse of eternity. And today, he invites us to this table of bread and wine. They tell us of his sacrifice. They remind us of his love. And through his Spirit, they bring us his strength, his grace, and his life. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. He came to seek and save the lost. He gave his life as a ransom for many. He came to come. He came to the broken in order to make them whole. He gave up his position and power in order to hang on a cross. He loved his own and he loved him to the end. He lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended to be with the Father where he reigns now, and he will come again to restore this world. And that we will know the fruit of the resurrection, eternal life which does not decay. He is here today and he meets us at this table. Please pray with me. Have mercy on us, O God, in your faithful love. In your great tenderness, wipe away our offenses. Wash us thoroughly from our guilt. Purify us from our sin. We are well aware of our failings. Our sin is ever before us in our minds. We have sinned in what we have said and left unsaid, in what we have done and left undone. Against you and you only have we sinned. We have done what you see to be wrong, and we confess our sin before you. Create a clean heart in us, O Lord our God. Renew a right spirit within us. Give us once again the joy of your salvation. Open our mouths to speak out your praise. We thank you for this sacrament of grace, for the light found here, light that does not fade. For joy that no man can take from us, for the forgiveness of sins, for the love that never ends, for the presence of you, Lord. Take these common and ordinary elements of bread and wine and consecrate them to your sacred purpose in our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.